Two types of people. Which one are you? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 7, verse 29. Here we're speaking about John the Baptist and his ministry. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was sent before him, John, verse 29. And when the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. Now, how many remember what the baptism of John was? It was a baptism of what? It's water baptism, but it was a baptism of repentance. Okay. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. So now you have two groups of people. You have those who respond to the preaching of John and those who reject the counsel of God. These two types of people. The question today we need to ask is, what type of person am I? Am I a person who God can speak to? Am I someone that God can talk to? Am I someone that when God does speak, that I will listen to His voice and I will obey Him? There are many people who sit in church, amen, week after week, and they hear message after message, but they do nothing with it. Or we sort it out in our minds and in our hearts as to what we will respond to and what we won't respond to, what we will agree with and what we will disagree with. I will agree with God as long as it goes with what I think is best for me. But if what God is requiring of me goes counter to my own opinion and my own way of doing things, then I won't agree with it. And I'll simply just pick and choose what portion of God's will I'm going to obey. You see, the people who are ready to say yes to God, to listen for His voice, and anticipation to hear the voice of God, because they know that when God speaks, He speaks life. And on the other side of that, you have people who are, they're willing to hear God's voice with conditions, as long as it fits my lifestyle in the way that I think it should be. You know, we fashion a God to suit ourselves. If it doesn't line up with my opinion of God, then I ain't going to do it. I want God to be like this, some will say. Now, here, John came preaching a message of repentance that the people were to prepare their hearts because the coming of Jesus Christ, amen, was at hand. The King was coming. He was the forerunner. And he was saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, a highway for our God. What's he talking about? He's talking about the condition of the heart. Get your heart right, because you need to make a way for God to come and to inhabit your life. You see, it's not about you and I climbing up to touch God. It's about you and I responding to the voice of God, listening to the voice of God, and in repentance saying, okay, God, if you want me to repent, if you want me to change, if you want me to stop, if you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I change the mind about the way I'm doing it, the way I'm thinking. I'm getting in line with what you say and what you think. Your thoughts are better than my thoughts. Would you agree? And when we agree with God and we come into agreement, then God can speak to us. He knows He can trust us. And what we're actually doing is we're opening a way in our hearts for the living words of God to come alive in us. Why is it that some folks can, for years and years and years, sit under teaching and teaching and teaching and have all kinds of Bible knowledge and be able to quote scripture after scripture and yet produce no life and have no change in their life? It's because they are refusing to repent and to agree with God's counsel. Instead, they choose their own counsel over God's. And as long as we're doing that, God is not able, we're not allowing Him to come in, if you will, to breathe into us, to grant us understanding and revelation of who He really is. And so there's two types of people. We have those who will listen to the voice of God, who will welcome, amen, the instruction, the counsel of the Lord, and will align themselves in agreement with what God says and says, it's the word of the Lord, it's good. It's the word of the Lord, that's what I want. It's the word of the Lord, and even though I don't really like hearing it, I know it's good for me, and I need to obey it. And whenever you say yes to God, you're opening the way. You're preparing a way, you see, for Him to come in and to work in your life. If you want to be changed, if you want to be transformed, you've got to repent. You've got to change your thinking, and you've got to agree with God's thinking. You've got to change your conversation and begin to speak God's words. Two types of people. The Pharisees. Hallelujah. They were the religious folks even, you know. And they rejected the counsel of God. And Jesus says, because you say, in another place He said, because you say, I know. He says, your sin remains. Because you think that in yourself, you've got it together. Because you think that you have something to offer to God. Because you think that your righteousness is acceptable to God. You're refusing the righteousness that's standing before you. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He's the one that makes us righteous. And so because they thought within themselves that they had an in with God, that they were tight with God, that, hey, we've got it together. We're the one. We're the teachers of the law. And because they would not repent in their heart, they would not agree with the counsel of God, whether it was pride or ego, or the fact that Jesus was turning the light on and exposing them and the secret motives of their hearts, they didn't like that. And so to save face, instead of saying, you're right, Lord, I repent, I'm sorry, I've sinned. Instead, they tried to wax it over. Has anybody ever done that? Has anybody ever tried to make excuses for your sin? Has anybody out of pride denied the counsel of God before? Especially when it's in the sight of other people. Pride will keep you from being in position to receive the blessing and the revelation of God in your heart. God gives His grace to the humble. Who are the humble? Those who will submit themselves to the rule of God, to the authority of God's word. Who will say, Lord, you decide. Lord, you're in charge. You own me. I don't own myself. You're the master. I'm the servant. You're my papa. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Amen. I'm under your authority. When we place ourselves under authority, we have legitimate authority. Both groups had witnessed the power of God. Luke 7:22. Jesus answered. When John was in prison, he was upset because, you know, he's in this situation. He had been the forerunner of Christ, and he was being used mightily of God, you know, and now he finds himself in prison. And he sends the messenger out and says, well, is this the Christ or do we look for another? And Jesus said this. Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, again, you have people on both sides of the camp, two types of people who both people now, both types, experience the power of God. They've seen the power of God. They've seen miracles. They've seen signs. They've seen God move. They come to church, they sit, they listen, and they accumulate more knowledge, and they've seen the miracles and the power of God, and yet they still remain unchanged. What's the problem? One type of person has a heart that's receptive, that's open, that's willing to yield to the Spirit of God. The other type of person is one who does not agree with the counsel of God. Come on. It is a big problem, folks. It's a big problem in the church. There are people who simply say, I don't agree with that. I like that, but I don't agree with that. And in the areas that you disagree, you are closing off the blessing of God from flowing into your life. You are actually shutting down the life of God in you. You're not allowing a place for God to come in. It's not about you and I reaching to heaven. It's not about you and I, through repentance, somehow reaching God. What repentance does is it positions our heart and opens our life to receive from God the transforming power of His Holy Spirit. Oh. How many know what I'm talking about? Some people, they come to church, they hear the message, they're hungry, they feed on it, they listen to God, they do whatever God says, and they grow in leaps and bounds. They're being changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And then other people, they come and they hear the same message. They sing the songs, they do this, they do the church stuff, but there's no change. Because what's happened is in the heart, they're secretly not agreeing with God. We think somehow that, you know, the counsel of God is like, you've heard it before, a smorgasbord, that we just go and we pick and choose what we want. That's foolish, because God knows what we need to eat. He serves a good diet. Amen? I like to eat the candy and the gum and the sweets and the... I like the sugar. Come on. Well, you got to have the full meal, amen? You got to have the full diet. It's all right to have a little candy, but you got to have a balance there. So you got one group that's growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and another group that continues to accumulate knowledge, but there's never any change. And they can do all the church stuff, you know, all the church things. Now, Jesus spoke about this in Luke chapter 7 and verse 31. He said, to what shall I liken the men of this generation? He says, what are they like, the people of his day? He says, they're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, we played flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep. So what do we have here? We have two groups of children sitting across a marketplace or square, calling out to one another. One group calls across the courtyard. They said, listen, we brought you joy, and you refuse to leave the place where you're at, the place of mourning. The second group cried, we presented mourning to you, and you refuse to leave the place of joy. What's he saying? Whether I call you with a promise of the hope that could be yours, or if I warn you of the sorrow that awaits for those who refuse the voice of God, you still refuse to get up and move from where you are. He says, I come offering you my grace, my mercy, my forgiveness, my love, my goodness is being displayed before you. Is it not the goodness of God that can draw us to repentance? And in some cases, it's the other way around. Listen, God is warning people too. He's saying, listen, I've tried to draw you with my goodness, with my kindness, but now I'm warning you, if you do not repent, if you do not come into agreement with me, I love you, I know what's best for you, but I cannot bless you, and unless you open your heart to receive what I have for you, I can't change you. He can't change you, folks, unless you want to be changed. There are people who listen to message after message, but in their hearts, they really don't want to change. God will never force Himself on us. You've got to get up and move, folks, from where you are. You've got to change your mind. If you're sitting in the wrong place, you got to get up and you got to move out of there. And you need to sit in the place that God puts you, where He calls you. Those who embraced the baptism of John realized that their lives had fallen apart. They realized that they fell short. They came. This is the common people, folks, that were coming out to John. They came out and they said, hey, we realize that I don't have anything to give God. I realize my life is a mess. I realize I don't have anything to offer God except anything that He would give me. You and I don't have anything to give God. You and I can't bargain with God. We can't come to God and say, God, look how good I am. Surely that should merit something. The only thing that you and I have to give God is what God's given us. It's what He's given you. You can't give back to God glory unless you receive glory. You can't honor Him unless He first honors you. It is by the grace of God. And so repentance is necessary, that we come into agreement with Father. We come into agreement with His Word. And we say, Lord, Your Word is good. I receive it. I open the way. I say, Lord, come in, come in, come in. I'll remove the barriers. I'll remove the stones. I'll do whatever You want me to do, Jesus. Just come in and fill my life and change me. How many know that you and I have our part to do? It's not all God, folks. It's you and I coming into agreement with God and realizing that His way is better than my way. And that I need to get in the way with Him. And in order to do that, I need to get out of my way, that I may walk in His way. I'm preparing a way. I'm opening the door for God to work in my life and to bring transformation, to bring change. Because people refuse change, it keeps them outside the power of God and the life being offered to them in Christ. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 3 through 6, and He went into all the region around Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Every valley shall be filled. You see, it's the humble heart. It's the ones who are poor in spirit, who realize that my life, my existence, my hope, my joy, my peace, my fulfillment, all comes from Him. I have nothing to give God except what He would give me first. And every mountain and hill brought low. Those are those mindsets and those thoughts that are exalting themselves against God's knowledge. Those high thoughts that say, my way is better than His way. I don't agree with God's way. My way is better than God's way. Those things God says will be brought down. Amen? And the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. You see, once again, the group that refused the baptism of repentance could not enter into life. They may have had a form of godliness. They may have had an external show of some form of piety or spirituality. And yet God, who knows all hearts, we will give an account of, amen, to someday. And so God calls all men everywhere to repent. Amen? Because He has appointed a day in which He shall judge the world through that man whom He has ordained, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has given us assurance of this because He has raised Him from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. And Jesus is sending out, amen, the Holy Spirit through the bride, amen, through the church. The Spirit and the bride say, come. We're calling people to what? To repentance. To get into agreement. To get into alignment with the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord is good. The Word of the Lord produces life. Hallelujah. And peace and joy. The Word of the Lord produces righteousness. Because He is our righteousness. And as we agree with God's Word and we align ourselves and we open the way, then the righteousness of Christ is allowed, amen, to come and flow into our lives. We can't come to God with anything, folks, to say, God, look what I did. God, look how righteous I am. I'm glad that I'm not like those people over there. Oh, those icky people over there. Come on. Can I suggest to you that a lot of people don't want anything to do with the church and church people because of that attitude? Because they pick up on it? That's not the heart of my Jesus, is it? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The only thing, folks, that you and I really have to offer to God is a broken vessel, is a mess. I don't care how well you might have lived your life. I don't care how much money, how much popularity, how much prestige. The only thing that we can really offer to God is a mess, is a broken vessel. Come on, let's just admit it today, right? You got up and outers and you got down and outers, but everybody's out without Christ. We need His righteousness. It says in verse 6, all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. We need to say, Lord, let it not be my path but yours. Lord, help me not to resist you. Would you pray that? Lord, help me not to resist you. I want to be an open vessel, a yielded vessel, one that you can pour your life into. All flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. How many know that you cannot have a clear view of Jesus until we're out of our way? Until we're done with our way? Until we come to the end of ourselves and we say, no longer am I my own. As Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To really live is to live in Him. Amen. To really live is to place myself under His rule and walk in unity with Him. Hallelujah. To get yoked together with Jesus, and life is good in the God zone. Life is good when you repent and you say, okay, God, I'm agreeing with you. And you open the way and the love of God floods your heart, floods your life. Because you agreed with God. Again, folks, it's not enough just to hear the word. Whenever you and I try to hold on to the things that God says let go of, that thing that you think you want to hold on to is going to come back and get you someday. The problem is that we don't see the results right away. There's a proverb in Ecclesiastes that says, because the ways of a man are not quickly known, we don't see the results of our sin. I'm paraphrasing. Men's hearts are fully set in them to do wickedly. Because the judgment, you know, of a sin is not executed right away, immediately, men's hearts are set in them to continue in their sin. In other words, hey, I did it, I got away with it, nothing happened. Right? Until one day you're going to see the doctor and he says, you have AIDS. Well, who knew? How many remember when AIDS first came out? I don't know about you, but some of us were kind of a little scared when we heard about that, that sometimes it can take up to 12 years to gestate or whatever. Meanwhile, everything is good. Life is good. Serving the devil, we thought. I got away with it. Nothing. There didn't seem to be any immediate consequences for it. So we continue to do even what we know often that God says is wrong. We want to hold on to that thing. And as long as you're holding on to that thing, folks, what's going to happen if you don't repent and you don't get rid of it? And I would suggest to you, if you're holding on to something today that God says you need to get rid of, don't wait another minute. Get rid of it now. Because what happens is it catches up to you. And it hits you in a time that you do not expect. Samson thought that he still had the anointing of God on him while he was sleeping around and compromising. And he knew not until the day that the Philistines came upon him. And he shook himself as he always did. And all of a sudden, The Spirit of God has left him. There's no anointing there. You know what the enemy will do? He will allow you to be comfortable in your sin. And what he's doing is he's waiting for the opportune time. As you just continue in rebellion and resistance to the Spirit of the Lord, until an opportune time where he can do the maximum amount of damage to your life. For the wages of sin is death. We cannot receive God's life until we're through with ours. I've spoke about this before, folks, about false conversion. People are not ready for the life of God until they're truly done with theirs. Until they repent. I change the way that I'm walking, the way I'm living. I'm through with my way. I'm ready to go your way now, God. Whatever you want me to do, Jesus, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm yours, Lord. All I ask is you give me ears to hear your voice. Let me hear your Spirit. Let me understand your word, Lord. If you've got a repentant heart, God will unveil his word to you. God will allow you to know what his word's really saying. Because you've opened the way for him to give you revelation. You've opened the way for the light of Christ to shine in you, to give you a knowledge of who he is, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What we do now is we've decided that we're going to glorify God in our bodies. Amen? It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the rest of our days. No excuses. I must come into agreement with what God says. And let me just say one more thing, okay? We're almost through. We must, as believers, refuse that part of us. And we need to do it every day. That wants to be God. I want to be my own God. And as long as we shun the counsel of God, refuse to listen to His word, His voice as He speaks to us, you're going to continue in that state that you've always been in. And there won't be any change. There won't be any fruit. This has always perplexed me and baffled me, is how so many, and folks, I hope you don't feel like I'm picking on you today. I'm just telling you this because I love you. But sometimes you see people who for years and years and years, they come and they sit and they soak and they sour. They don't change. It's a routine. It's a ritual. They've become gospel hardened. They've heard it so many times, and yet they've shut down themselves so many times that now there's no penetration, there's no entry of the word, and they're like stunted in some kind of place along the road. Has anybody ever felt like you've been stunted in your growth? It might be, folks, it might be that you're not listening. My question to you again this morning is, can God truly speak to you? How many of that God is trying to get our attention? That God wants to speak to us. But God knows whether or not He can speak to us. Because He sees the heart. He sees the condition of the heart. He sees whether or not you really want to receive Him. He knows whether or not you really love and cherish the truth. Not so we can win a Bible debate. Not so that we can accumulate more knowledge and impress people with how smart we are. But we receive the truth, the love of the truth, that we might be changed, that we might be transformed, that we might become more like Christ. And if you're a Christian today, a follower of Jesus, you need to ask the question today, Lord, is there a rebellion in my heart? Am I resisting? Am I shunning your counsel? Am I refusing to hear your word? Lord, if that is true, show it to me, Lord. I repent this day. Lord, I repent this day. I want to receive what you have for me. God, I am preparing a way in my heart, a highway for you, Lord God, to come into my life and to walk together with me in this life. Jesus, I want it your way. I'm done with my way. The ones who received the message of repentance were the ones who could hear the voice of God. Are you having trouble hearing His voice? Ask the Lord today, God, is there something that's blocking that? Will you respond to the voice of God today? If we continue to resist the Spirit of God, if we continue to rebel against His voice, folks, how many know that your heart is like a muscle? It will become more calloused. And you can get to a place where you no longer hear. How is it that people, we call it backsliding, but Christians who once walked with God, who loved God, that served God, that passionately pursued Him, and today they're completely lost in the world. How can that happen? Is that possible? Can I suggest to you that it happens in increments? It happens by you and I just deciding that we're not going to agree with the counsel of God. I hear what you're saying, but I like my sin. I like my lifestyle. I'm going to do what I want to do. Oh, Jesus, I'll follow you as long as it fits within my little box of predictability and what I want to do with my life. But God, if it steps outside those boundaries, we're not going there. Thank you very much. Come on. What happens when you start to bargain with God? God doesn't bargain. There's no bargaining. You and I have nothing to bring Him except what He gives us. And we cannot receive from God until we come to an awareness that I need to receive the counsel of God. I need to receive the word of the Lord. I need to obey the word of the Lord. And I'm going to say, yes, Jesus, to whatever it is that you want with my life, I'm giving you my life. Yeah. I'm surrendering my life to you, Jesus. No longer I, but you live in me now, Jesus. I'm preparing a way for you to come and dwell in me, and I in you. And then transformation will take place. God wants to change us. God wants to bless us. God wants to exalt you. God wants to exalt you so that you will make Him famous, so that you'll make Him known. But you've got to get into position for that to happen. You've got to position yourself for the blessing and the favor of God to be poured into your life by repentance, by agreeing with His counsel. And when the Lord convinces you and convicts you that there's something in your life that you need to deal with, that's the time when you say, okay, Jesus, whatever it is you want from me, I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. How many know that I'm speaking the truth to you today? Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads right now, just for a moment? Folks, my job today is not to make anybody feel guilty. I don't want you coming back and forth every week and saying, God, I'm getting saved again. My job is not to make you guilty. My job is to give you what God gives me to give you. And for you to be responsible now to listen to the voice of the Lord as He's speaking through this servant today. To get into agreement with what the Father has already spoken. Some of you, as you sat here this morning, God has reminded you of certain things that He's telling you you need to get it straight. The crooked places need to get straight. You need to agree with the counsel of God, and you need to make some steps, some changes. You need to make some decisions, and you need to make them immediately to get your heart into the position to open a door for Christ to come in and to heal and to restore you. For the life-giving Word of God to penetrate into your deep into your heart and transform you. Would you say yes, Lord, to whatever it is? There are things that God is speaking to you today about that you just need to make the decision. You need to make a choice. If you choose today to refuse the counsel of God, you can walk out of here and refuse this message. You can say, well, that was a good message. But in your heart, you can say, well, yes, to a degree. I'll receive this, but I'm not going to receive that. What are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to your heart, or are you going to listen to the heart of God? Are you going to just continue in your way, the way of self-will? Or are you going to allow God's will? Lord, I just say yes to you today. Father, we come to you as open books. We know that you see us. You hear our thoughts. You know our secret heart, Lord, where we really live. There are no secrets with you, Holy Father. Your eyes, Lord, see all things. There are no secrets. Today, Holy Father, I pray for the light of Christ to shine into every heart. I pray for the revelation, knowledge, Lord God, of what it is, Father God, that might be a hindrance in my life today. Those areas, Lord, that I need to surrender, that I need to change, that I need to give to you, God. Today I ask you, Holy Spirit, to do the work in each heart. Change, transform. Lord, prepare us, we pray, that we might be vessels of honor, that you will raise us up, Lord, to be your instruments, to be your vessels, to be your people who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, who will go in the spirit of Elijah, who will declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And those who will go and preach the gospel to the poor. Lord, thank you for the anointing of God that breaks every yoke, shackle, and chain off our lives. Right now, I come against the works of darkness, and I come against the works of the enemy. And for those who have repented today, we adjure you by Jesus, Satan, you have no authority here. The Lord rebuke you. We come against every binding spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke you and renounce you, and we command you right now in the name of Jesus, get out. Loose them now in Jesus' name. And begin to cry out, Jesus, come and fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Hallelujah.